Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, everyone. Again, I said that for a fourth or fifth time. And once again, it's on a Thursday night. Not too bad a Thursday night. The last day in July, July 31st, where we got a lot of guys moving all over the country, and we're going to be talking about that. But before we do that, my name is JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is the FSP Crew Show. I'm joined, as always, with my co-host, Jeff the Joker, two Jersey guys going to be talking about some sports. Baseball, some football, a little basketball. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff and me. Also have a chat room open for your convenience. That chat room is sitting out there for you. Put your knowledge in there. Ask a question. Make a statement. Do what you do in that chat room. If you like. It's there for you and only you. And like I said, we're going to be talking about baseball, basketball, and a little football. And without further ado, let's bring in my esteemed co-host, my fellow Jersey guy, Jeff the Joker. What's up, my man?
Hey, Jerry. Hey, everybody. What's going on?
It's a lazy, not too hazy day in summer. It's about the middle, maybe a little toward the, not toward the end, but the second month of summer is down, and we're soon to go into the home stretch, the final month of the summer before Labor Day, and everybody who is going to is attending school, whether it be grammar school, high school, or even college. We're going to start back or have started back in late part of August and definitely after Labor Day. So, Jeff, there's been a lot of things going on in the last few days. One of the things I want to talk about, we're going to start with a little basketball first because I saw this article on Facebook and I missed it. But then I Googled the guy, and the guy said this, and I'm talking about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant got, interviewed by Michael Wilbon. And one of the things they asked him, because the thing now, Jeff, is that everybody, I guess because LeBron decided to go home, maybe that's everybody wants to copycat that and jump on that train. Michael Wilbon asked Kevin Durant on that. And one of the coach quotes, excuse me, one of the quotes Kevin Durant had is, if the Wizards come to get him, he's ready. That's the city. It's part of me. It's in my blood. And then ask Jason Whitlock what he makes of that quote. And that's what Michael Wilbon read about Durant's quote. And Jason Whitlock said this: I make of it that it's 2 years off, and we're already talking about it, which somewhat annoys me. But I also make of it that Kevin Durant probably going home. And we need to recognize something about this generation of young people. They like to represent their area codes. The 317, where I'm from. What is it? The 306, where LeBron's from. 202 or 301, depending on whether KD is going to be in the nation's capital or Maryland. Will Bond continue looking? It says, look, they're laying the foundation. The Wizards are. They've done all the right things. They could have jumped in the Carmelo Anthony sweepstakes this summer. They didn't. And Carmelo's not from New York. He's from Baltimore, which is a whole lot closer to Washington than New York. But they didn't, because they're trying to gather all their resources and clear out a big pile of money when it comes to offer Kevin Durant the money. Now, a few years ago, I remember talking to Kevin Durant, and this is Wilbon, went on, and at that time, as a young man, coming home was daunting to him, and it should be, because the demands in greater Washington, D.C. on Kevin Durant, they are enormous, and it will be a savior of basketball here. He grew up watching the Bullets and Wizards. He's now old enough and mature enough, and I think and I believe he feels this way too, to entertain the notion. If the Wizards come to get him, he's ready. But this is a dilemma. He loves Oklahoma City, but he also loves his hometown. I'm not going to go any further, Jeff, but I think you get the gist of it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We can only speculate about what goes on in his head or anyone else's head. He seems, for a superstar player, he seems pretty level-headed. Playing in Oklahoma City, I think, agrees with him. I don't know why. We can only speculate because Oklahoma City is one of the smaller NBA markets. Mm-hmm. But, and it's kind of like two sides of that coin, because let's say some of the NFL players who played in Green Bay, they say, it's nice folks up there and they like it, but they say they won't leave you alone sometimes. If you're in a big city and you're in a store, everybody will be buzzing. Oh, that's that guy. But nobody's going to bother you,
Right.
And, a little town like Green Bay sometimes, they can drive you crazy, I've heard both sides of that coin. But the thing is, one of the benefits of playing in a town like Oklahoma City, they got one newspaper, and it's pretty much a homer newspaper. And I think once they printed one slightly negative article about Durant and they apologized the next day, believe me,
right.
That doesn't happen in New York. You never know, because they seem, the fans there seem happy with him. But you never know, another year without a championship, they might say, okay, what is, this group, Durant and Westbrook and whatever, what have they done? So you don't know. You just don't know. And, besides the personal feelings, there's always the business side of it, and there's the basketball side of it, too. So, it makes for interesting speculation.
Yeah. I think come the end of next season, I was going to call them the Seattle Supersonics. The Oklahoma City Thunder will be in the same predicament as the Knicks, as the Miami Heat, of having their superstar make the choice of whether to stay in with his team in Oklahoma City. Or like Carmelo, even though he was home already, but he decided to stay home. Or especially LeBron decided to go back to where he was born and raised. I know Kevin Durant is a pretty humble guy, from what I understand. talking to one of our esteemed co-hosts who knows Kevin Durant, talking about Mac, and that he's a very religious person and also very loyal person and has a small circle of friends. And I would have to think, and this is just like you speculated, that it's a strong possibility that if the Washington Wizards made a strong bid to Kevin Durant, that it would be a strong possibility that he would accept, especially with the up-and-rising players, young players, that the Washington Wizards have accumulated over the past few years. And quite naturally, they made a playoff appearance this year. More than likely, if they sustain the same amount of play that they made played this past year, they'll probably be in the playoffs once again. And with an added piece like a superstar like Kevin Durant to add to John Wall and Bradley Beal and company, you would think that it would be somewhat attractive and a lot less harder for him to make the jump, even though they have a team in Oklahoma that's a perennial, and I would say that because of the talent level, the perennial contenders in there. Who's to say that he won't make the move and leave Oklahoma City? I mean, I'm pretty sure that it will be pretty difficult, and they would make it pretty difficult for Oklahoma to let him leave and make it very short of offering him a piece of their franchise. So he would stay there, one of the better players, and in most, in a lot of opinions, the best player, the best player overall, but in some people's opinions, that in the NBA, over LeBron. So you have to wait and see what happens, but it makes for great speculation. About this time next year, it'll have a resolution one way or the other, just like LeBron and Carmelo, to name a few big names, that made a decision of whether to go or stay or whatever. We'll know the resolution of Kevin Durant's situation a year from today, to be plain and simple. All right, let's move on to football. This is, I would say, comical, but what did you, in my opinion, what did you accomplish? Okay? I'm talking about this. Beast mode. Marshawn Lynch decided to hold out. Didn't show up for training camp when it started last week, and was accumulating each day he was out of training camp $30,000 in fines. All right? And because of, I gather, of what Jamal Charles got, and him knowing that he's on the downside of his career, but for the most part, 28, 29 years old, he was looking to get paid, Jeff, and decided to hold out up until, I guess, either today or yesterday. I forget exactly when he walked in. And he reported this afternoon, and I think as usual, when these guys hold out and then eventually report, the money that was supposedly fined to him, $30,000, is forgiven. Your thoughts, Jeff?
You know, I wonder if they really collect that money. You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe they let it slide. And, you know, maybe he wanted to miss camp. Maybe the team didn't mind too much, but they didn't want to say, oh, we're giving our star running back permission to meet camp, to miss camp. And, you know, it makes you wonder what really goes on behind the scenes. Now, some people don't care for the guy, but, you know, the fact is Pete Carroll has put together a very talented group of guys up there. And the only negative about that is that everybody's got to get paid. And then it's going to get to the point, I mean, they lost a couple guys, but then you got to pick who you're going to keep and who you're not going to keep. And that's the sometimes unfortunate business side of it. I mean, the thing is, you know, Lynch is excellent, and he's a big part of that team, a big part of their success. But, you know, these running backs, they don't last long. It's not necessarily the years, it's the mileage. And he's, you know, accumulated some mileage. He's probably got a year or two left at least, but you never know. But they got pretty good guys behind them, supposedly.
Yes.
But I'll tell you, that guy, you know, at Cal and then beginning of his pro career in Buffalo, that is just the classic straight-ahead runner, you know, because and that's what you got to do in the NFL. I mean, in college – there's these guys, they could dance around looking for a hole. Those holes don't open in the NFL, you know, or they try to bounce it outside. That's not going to happen in the NFL.
Right.
And, you know, Marshawn Lynch, he's got one direction forward, and he's good at, you know, at finding the holes, and he keeps those feet moving. He's a real powerful type running back. And I drafted him for, you know, pretty relatively early. I think he was my third running back his rookie year for fantasy, because it was obvious that he was going to be the guy in Buffalo. You know, I think the day after the draft, they already updated their draft their depth chart. They hadn't even signed him yet. So you know, obviously, you know, he did fairly well in Buffalo, and he's done very well up in Seattle. But, you know, you wonder if they didn't mind if he missed the training camp or he purposely wanted to miss it. And the good thing is at least he's going to get some training camp and he's going to get some preseason, because they probably won't give him a lot of preseason action. Most star running backs don't. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson, I don't think he ever played preseason for San Diego. That was nuts.
Right.
And there's other stars of similar stature. The first of the dreaded NFL preseason games is Sunday, the Giants, my favorite NFL team, and is the Hall of Fame induction. That's on a Saturday, right?
Yes.
Because I know if I miss it, I'm sure I could get it on YouTube, because Michael Strahan and some others are going into the Hall of Fame on Saturday. And, you know, the NFL Hall of Fame is selective, as it should be. And I think Strahan's going in on the first vote, which he deserved. And, you know, it's corny. Most of the time, the speeches are excellent. They really are. Most of the guys, they realize what an honor it is, and they really just show a lot of class. It's hard to believe, but I really feel that. And, you know, one speech stands out to me, Darryl Green, the great Hall of Fame corner all those years with the Redskins. And, you know, sometimes you think about these guys and you think of their achievements and you think of all the fame and the money and all that, and you don't realize, you know, that they're flesh and blood just like everybody else. And Darryl Green was talking about, you know, some of the troubles he had, you know, in college, and it was stuff that, you know, either I never heard about or forgot about, you know. He wasn't heavily recruited because of his size. And then, you know, he was, you know, a small-town guy, and he was maybe wasn't really confident about going to a, you know, big school far from home. And, you know, he's a young man, and, you know, it's, that's normal. And I think one of the reasons he went there was, I think it was Texas A&I. He had a close friend who was going there, and then the friend died in a car accident, and he left school for a year, you know. And, you know, and that's stuff you don't hear about. You just see this guy who, you know, this great cover corner who's faster than grease lightning, but, you know, they got to overcome their hardships too. And, you know, sometimes guys who you thought were jerks pull it together and put together a very classy speech. And NFL Hall of Fame is something special for sure.
All right, we will we'll address that a little further. I also want to put this tidbit in before I do that. Let me bring in our other esteemed co-host, the man with the plan, man with from the D.C. area, Mr. Mike Wright. What's up, my man?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on?
Hey, Black. How you doing?
All right, man. Tired.
You, I got your texts that you were going back and forth with Mr. FSP, and you must be the hardest working man I know, man.
Hey, job has to be done. I'm the guy to do it, man.
Well, Jeff, I don't know if you were privy to those texts, but Black looked like in a 3 to 4 hour span, looked like he put a full day's work in.
He does it. And I'll give you one of his one of Black's quotes: "When you grind, you find." And he's the hardest working man in the podcast business. You know.
All right. Well, let me tell you this: why Mr. Marshawn Lynch decided to come in there, Jeff. Supposedly, the Seahawks agreed to bump up Lynch's base salary to persuade him to report. Under his previous contract, he was due to make $5 million in base salary, plus $500,000 in per-game roster bonuses, and he could have earned another $500,000 in incentives if he had rushed for 1,500 yards. Now he gets a base salary of $6 million, meaning the Seahawks effectively guaranteed the $1 million he previously would have had to earn, plus they're taking $500,000 that he had been scheduled to get paid in 2005 and giving it to him now instead. In all, Lynch will make $6.5 million this year. They also agreed not to, just like we had talked about, Jeff, not to enforce the fines that they were entitled to dock him from the work he had already missed. And supposedly, the league was pressuring the Seahawks to go after some of Lynch's sinus bonus money if he refused to port. I mean, refused to report, as teams are permitted to do under the collective bargaining agreement. But the Seahawks decided not to do that. Instead, they reached this deal, and Lynch is in camp now and making more money in 2014 than he is scheduled to make under his old deal. I'll go to Black first, and then you, Jeff. Go ahead, Black. What do you think about what they did?
I wonder if Dez Bryant's agent is looking at all this, because he has to be looking at this and saying, "Why oh my, Dez Bryant going into the last year of his contract, which I think he'll only be making $1.5 million, I believe, at the end of his contract, which is brutal, yeah." So this is a good thing by the Seahawks. I thought for doing that, they're good, not going after the fans and anything. Guys hate training camp, really, but it's a good thing. He wanted to get some money. That's good for him. But I hope Dez Bryant and his people are watching the situation.
Jeff, Marshawn.
Those details kind of confirm what I thought about the Lynch situation. It's a relief because I think, as you said last week, you hate to see a long holdout, for a guy, because it can lead to injuries. I think with a veteran guy, they have a better idea how to be prepared for the season, but I think people could still draft Lynch early without too much worry. And a guy like him doesn't need a lot of camp. I mean, obviously he needs camp because, believe me, if these guys didn't need it, they wouldn't have it. But I don't think he needs a full camp, and he probably, who knows, he might be better off missing out on a week on a contact. But they don't even have that much contact now because it's, they have 2-a-days, but only the one practice is with pads and the one is without. So, maybe it's affecting the quality of the play. The Giants, they're getting a little extra training camp this year because of the Hall of Fame game, and they need it. Because I think that new Giants offense is a poor match for the personnel. The reason being, it's Ben McAdoo, the offensive coordinator, who had been working up in Green Bay and was doing a very good job up there. For some reason, they brought him in to replace Kevin Gilbride, who I think retired. And this new offense is a lot of short passing, which Eli is best at the medium and longer passes. I mean, he's been in the league a while at this point. That's never been his strong point. I just don't get that. And then supposedly they're struggling with the terminology because of his accent, which is silly because, I got an accent too. If I was going to be calling plays, I'd make sure those were words that I could pronounce properly that other people could understand. So, hopefully the Giants don't go 0 for September because that's what happens sometimes when a team struggles to grasp a new offense.
Hey, Joe, what do you think about this 70% passing clip that the offensive coordinator has offered to challenge Eli Manning to? I don't even think that's sustainable.
Yeah, I like Eli, but, he's never come close to that percentage. I mean, you could say, well, it was a different type of offense. And, he's okay with the short passing, but he's not great at it. I mean, he's got good receivers. The offensive line has some question marks. I mean, it's good to set the bar high, but it's also, this is one of the things I liked about Phil Sims. Phil didn't worry about his numbers like a lot of these guys really do, especially the quarterback. And Eli, I don't think, worries much about his numbers. He just wants to move the ball and win the game. So they move the ball and win the game, everybody's happy. So.
Okay. Well, we're going to stay in the NFL. And we're going to talk about one of Black's favorite players, who hasn't been showing that well in training camp. We're going to stay on the quarterback tip, and we're going to talk about Mr. Wonderful, according to a lot of people, Mr. Johnny Football, according to his moniker that he likes to go by, who hasn't been playing that well and has admittedly have growing pains in training camp.
Is my guy stinking it up?
He is royally stinking it up.
Come on, man.
He's been throwing a lot of interceptions, making a lot of bad reads. He hasn't been playing supposedly up to his hype, and it's shown in training camp. And this is a quote from him, asked if he expects to perform better once the game starts than he has so far in practice. Mansell, that's always been his way. Always for me. I've been better in a game situation than I feel I have in practice. But I have to come out here and get better with reps that I'm getting. That's the main thing. Keep getting better. And when it's time to go out and play football, it's time to play football. Now, the Browns say that he will get work with the first team soon, but apparently he'll probably be getting work with the second team, and he's making mistakes and throwing a lot of interceptions and making bad reads with the second team. I don't know if he starts ripping with the first team if they're going to be too happy about his play if he can't even deal with the second. He says he does. He says he's in practice because of increased freedom. He said he likes to play, or he will play better in games than he is in practice because of increased freedom to improvise, something that won't help him all that much if he can't get on the field, quite naturally. It sounds like Manziel will have a chance to grab that playing time suit. What's that?
I said, you don't want to be doing too much improvising in the NFL.
Hey, well, let me put it this way. And I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it again. They already talked about, he had a press conference or whatever you want to call it, when they first got into training camp saying he's a rookie, he's still young, he's still learning. He said maybe I shouldn't have done a few things now that I'm a pro athlete compared to when I was in college. But he's on that same moniker saying I'm young. I like to go out and party. I think that's within my rights. He's a quarterback, a high profile quarterback, and probably the face of the franchise sooner or later. But he won't be that if that with that attitude and with that mindset, and grow up a little bit, because the fact is, you don't see the most successful quarterbacks in this league doing the things he's doing. There's a reason why most of these quarterbacks who are very successful are very successful, and you don't see him enjoying the nightlife constantly. Your thoughts, Jeff, and then I go to Black.
You know, one thing you said was right on the head. You know, you look at the successful NFL quarterbacks, and the thing is, you know, you see the play on the Sunday. You don't see them hitting the films and hitting the books and hitting the weights and whatever, but that's a big part of it. And, specifically, I'll give you one. And, you know, sometimes, you know, some guys' word gets around about their work ethic and everybody hears about it, but sometimes it doesn't. And Tom Brady, you know, everybody knows him for, you know, the 3 Super Bowl wins and, you know, being married to the supermodel and the commercials and all that. But believe me, he didn't get like that, sitting around doing nothing. He was a very hard worker early in his career. I mean, he came in as a 6th-round pick. The Patriots carried 4 quarterbacks that year because they thought that highly of him. They didn't want to let him go. Mm-hmm. And then before his breakthrough second season when he became the starter, they had an award that the Patriots would give to the players whoever had the best attendance for off-season workouts. And he got that award for the best attendance. And then, you know, in camp, he moves up from the number 3 guy to the number 2 guy, but it wasn't mm-hmm. a big deal yet because Bledsoe was playing, and he was considered for a long time to be a great quarterback, you know, borderline Hall of Famer. And then, you know, the Patriots and Brady go on a great run, win the Super Bowl. And then the next offseason, he won that award again for having the best attendance at offseason workouts, and that's why he was able to maintain that success. And, you know, yeah, he does the commercials, make tons of money, all that. But believe me, he's very serious when it comes to football. And most of the successful quarterbacks are like that, and there's stories to back it up and facts to back it up. And, I like Manziel, his talent. And, he's probably not a bad guy. I mean, he's got a lot of personality, but you know, this is the big league. This is the pros. This is serious business. And, Brady hit the weights a lot because they thought he was too skinny coming out of college. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Manziel's
mm-hmm.
not going to make himself taller, but he needs maybe to make himself a little heavier, a little more muscle because, he's not going to survive running around that much in the
right.
NFL. I mean, you're not going to turn him into a drop-back passer, but if he runs around like he did in college – you know, he's not going to be in the sports page. He'll be in the obituaries.
Black, your thoughts?
Oh, man, this is still my guy. He's going through a rough patch now, trying to get adjusted to the NFL. I'm going to give him some time. We'll give him some time to get it together. Hopefully a light bulb goes off in his head, and he realizes that he has to take this thing serious if he wants to see a second contract and doesn't want to flame out like another high-profile quarterback a la Tim Tebow. He's going to have to get it together. He has the talent. It's just going to take a while for him to mature.
Yeah, I just hope for your sake, Black, that he does it sooner rather than later, because going into camp, there was a lot of negativity around him, and now because of the things that he hasn't been doing in camp, there's that's just more of people piling on, including myself, and I'll readily admit that, don't talk about it, be about it. And he likes to talk a big game, but to back it up until this point, it ain't happening. And I'm not talking about a one-time, maybe a flashy play or a flashy quarter or an outstanding half. It has to be on a game-by-game basis. One game doesn't make a superstar, especially if you can't sustain that. So we'll have to wait and see. They've promised to get him more work with the ones versus the twos, and who knows, that may improve his play. I don't think it will, but...
I think he just has to get adjusted to the speed, you know. It's a whole different speed when you get to be a working quarterback in the NFL. So I think it's just going to take some time to get adjusted.
Well, let me ask you something, Black. From what I'm seeing, and I could be wrong, it doesn't look like he makes too many friends in the workout room, meaning that he probably doesn't even know where it's at. If he does, he probably doesn't spend that much time in there, because it doesn't look like from the time he was drafted up until now that he's amassed any kind of weight or muscle, because his slight frame, you need to be durable. In order for you to do that, you got to put the work in into the weight room, so you can be able to take the blows from those 325 pound linemen or 250, 260 pound linebackers or 200 pound safety come barreling down on you if he's going to run the ball. What's your thoughts? I mean, I would think that he would try to bulk up a little bit, and he seems like he's just and I could be wrong, but it seems like he's just basically going through the motions. I mean,
to put on too much muscle now, because part of his game is agility, so you don't want him to get too big. But I think he'll be all right. I think he'll be all right. I mean, you look at guys around the league. Drew Brees isn't really a big guy. Russell Wilson, he's kind of short, but he's a little bit muscular. He can stand to put on maybe 10 pounds of muscle, but you don't want him to lose that agility he has.
Okay, well, I mean, we'll have to wait and see. I'm not a big fan. You know, that's well documented. I'm not a big fan of Johnny football.
I know you're not a big fan. Don't give up on Johnny yet, man. He hasn't even taken the NFL snap yet.
All right, let's move on. We've talked about Johnny Manziel. We talked about Marshawn Lynch. I got a clip here, okay, that I want to play about a guy that has been taking some heat. And I don't know if it's warranted that he would take the heat for the punishment that was dealt out to him. He should take the heat for what he was accused of doing, but not for the amount of time that he was suspended for. Let me play this clip, And then we'll talk about Mr. Ray Rice.
At night, you know, I just replay over and over in my head, you know, that's not me. My actions were inexcusable. And, you know, that's something I have to live for the rest of, have to live with the rest of my life. And, you know, the pain that I'm talking about living with is that, is waking up every day, and my daughter's 2 years old now. You know, I have a little girl who's very smart, very intelligent. And one day she's going to know the power of Google. And me have to explain that to her, you know, what happened that night. I know that's not who I am as a man. You know, that's not who I am as a man. That's not who my mom raised me to be. If anybody knows me and knows me, that they know I was raised by a single parent, and that was my mother. And, you know, to sit here today and, you know, replay the things that, you know, my mom raised me to be, you know, I let her down. I let my wife down. You know, I let my daughter down. You know, I let my wife's parents down. I let the whole Baltimore community down. And I got my teammates here support me. I let my teammates down. You know, I let so many people down because of 30 seconds of my life that, you know I can't take back. But one thing that I wanted to do today was, you know, apologize to my wife, who I've known since high school. I've known her since a kid. You know, I met her in high school, and she's the same girl now that she is. Great mother, and she's a great wife. Today, I know you guys' job is here to report my highest highs and lowest lows, but my lowest low, I made a huge mistake, and I want to own it. I want to sit here in front of my teammates and tell you I made a huge mistake. You know, these two games are going to hurt.
Jeff, your thoughts?
You know, I think the Ray Rice punishment came down. I think it was right before the show last week. And
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, the NFL, specifically the Commissioner Goodell, have received a ton of criticism since then. My first gut instinct was they took into consideration the fact that Ray Rice has a clean record. But, I mean, you know, Goodell's one of these guys. He wants to suspend a guy for half a season for not watching his jock. Maybe it wasn't enough, but because there's the, all week long I've been hearing it, and I can't disagree with what the people are saying. Because the thing is, you know, people, you know, a lot of times they don't know your background, whatever. You know, most of my family are women, you know, and I think a lot of men can say that. And that changes the way, it can change the way you look at things. And believe me, I've never raised a hand to a woman, and believe me, that doesn't entitle me to great praise, because that's the way you should be. That doesn't mean you're terrific. It just means you're okay. And the one thing, I don't know why, but like there's always, you always think to yourself, God forbid you ever lose your stack really bad. I guess the key is if you get into that situation to step away from it, you know. But, you know, like there's always that slim chance, and let's to change it a little, let's say, you know, who knows? You know, I could lose my temper and get in a fight with a guy. That's not cool either. You know, it's more acceptable. Uh-huh. But still, there's always that slim chance that something bad could happen to a good guy. You know, this is probably an example of a good guy doing a bad thing, not a bad guy doing a bad thing. At this point, you know, there's a lot of women watch football and whatever, and it doesn't look good for the NFL, but, you know, Rice is back in camp, and I think he's an easy guy to support, and I think it seems like the team supports him, and, you know, they know the kind of guy he is because they know him well, and the fans seem to support him, and it's a little bit of a black eye for the league. So hopefully, you know, he can put this stuff way behind him. So,
Black, what's your thoughts?
You know, I'm usually behind the Iron Hammer Goodell 100%, but he definitely dropped the ball in this one. Two games is nothing. Two games is absolutely nothing for laying a woman out flat. You suspend guys for smoking weed for six games a season. You suspend guys for this. You suspend guys for taking the wrong muscle enhancers or what have you. And the guy hits a woman and you get two games. It's just crazy. Stephen A. Smith got a whole week just for talking about this. So this should tell Goodell something, that this two games is just too light, man. The apology comes after the suspension. Why didn't it come before the suspension?
Okay.
Why didn't it come right after you hit the woman? It's just all foolishness. It's all foolishness right now.
Well, Greg Hardy of the Carolina Panthers is in hot water because he got convicted of domestic violence, domestic abuse, domestic violence, whichever way you want to call it. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's appealing the decision. It may be a strong possibility that he may be in the same boat, maybe not the same scenario, but the same boat of being found that he committed domestic violence or domestic abuse, or whatever you want to phrase it, but through the legal system versus the way Ray Rice legally has gone about it. You're going to have to wait and see what kind of punishment that Greg Hardy is going to, and you know it's coming, regardless of, well, I guess regardless of the actual outcome. He got convicted at once. The appeal may bring it down to whatever the sentence was. But you have to think.
How many games did he get?
Well, he hasn't gotten any yet, Black.
Any more than two is a problem.
Well, I'm saying that's what I'm saying. What's going to happen once the resolution of his case in this domestic violence case comes about? I don't know if not too many people have brought it up, but it's definitely going to be brought up and put to the forefront when the final resolution has come about. And also I want to talk about the fallout of Ray Rice and one of the collateral damages of this Ray Rice incident was a friend of the show who's appeared on the show, be it quite a while ago, but he has appeared on this show, and he's one of the co-hosts of First Take on ESPN. I'm talking about none other than the outspoken sportscaster, Stephen A. Smith, who got suspended for a week because of his comments about domestic abuse, suggesting women should make sure that they don't do anything to provoke an attack. I listened to the whole commentary because I think it was, I forget what day it was on, I think it was the same day or the day after the Ray Rice decision came out. And then he went on this, for lack of a better word, diatribe on First Take last Friday. That's when it took place. And got a ton of people attacking him on Twitter. Michelle Beadle attacked him on Twitter, who happens to be a worker of his at ESPN. And I didn't know this, but Michelle Beadle had been a victim of domestic violence, so she took it even more harder if I could say that, much harder than a woman that hasn't been subjected to that. And then eventually the talking heads or the higher-ups in ESPN decide to suspend Stephen A. for a week. I think he'll be back sometime next week. I'm not exactly sure what day. But I want to get your thoughts, Black. Stephen A., getting suspended for his comments, whatever else you want to put into it. Then I go to Jeff.
Let me just say, Stephen A. will always be my guy since he came on the show. I don't know why they made this man apologize and then suspend him. That just seems kind of fishy to me.
Why so?
I'm just saying, if you want to say something, just stand behind your words. If you know a suspension is coming, let the suspension come. Don't say what you're going to say and then get suspended. I think I think the head of the ESPN, I think Beal made such a fuss, and they didn't want to take this guy's apology as what it was, an apology. And they just suspended him. I didn't agree with that decision at all.
Okay. He'll be back August 8th. Jeff, your thoughts?
I usually like Stephen Smith, and he usually says a lot of intelligent things. But I think, you know, even if you don't like his remarks, it happens to almost every reporter at least once. They put the foot in their mouth or something, and then, you know, they end up getting in trouble. You know, it's happened to other sports journalists. And I think in regards to the Rice's situation, I think Rice's wife, she did attack him. I'm not excusing Rice because all he had to do was just try to stop her. He didn't, you know, he didn't have to carry it that far. But, I guess she did attack him. It doesn't excuse him, but it is relevant. And, Stephen made a mistake. He's still a good guy, and he'll get past this because he's too good at what he does, and I don't think it's going to keep him down.
But did you agree with them suspending him after he made an apology?
And believe me, he'll probably apologize again, and I didn't see the exact how it happened because, these guys, they have that show. That's real time. You know, it's not like it's you're writing an email, you get to double check it. And, they do put their foot in the mouth once in a while.
What say you, Master?
What say
what was
I?
The guy at ESPN who got suspended finally because he kept multiple times. There was one of the regulars in ESPN. He ended up losing his job. Who was that guy? You know what I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about. I can't recall his name. I know who you're talking about though.
Okay.
Let me put it this way. Once he made the comment, once he went on his diatribe, I realized he was catching a lot of flack. I was thinking to myself, he's probably going to get suspended from this, and then apologize after he got suspended, not in the reverse order of apologizing and then getting suspended. I have to agree with you, Black. I mean, I understand what you're talking about, that he apologized. You think after he apologized, it was over and done with. And then they just piled on and decided to suspend him. And I don't know. In my opinion, and that could be lambasted or whatever, I don't see what – suspended him didn't accomplish with him, and I'm pretty sure they talked to him about apologizing. So if he apologized, to me, it doesn't make any sense to suspend him if he apologized. I mean, he got the humiliation of getting on air in front of the camera, in front of millions of people. Excuse me?
Exactly. And it wasn't like it was a short apology either. He went in detail in his apology.
Right. In front of millions of people and saying that I made an egregious mistake sincerely and on into whatever, what all the things that he said. And then to add on to it after that, shortly after that or day after that or whatever, they just decided to suspend him. I mean, why? I do understand what you're talking about on that note, Black, because of the fact that he did publicly apologize, and Let me put it this way. To have Stephen A. apologize for something that he said doesn't come lightly, because he usually stands by what he says, and that be damned if anybody doesn't like it. But for him to come out, and say he apologized and was basically apologizing profusely, there was no need, in my opinion, to suspend him after that. But I think that was to satisfy all the people that wanted more than just an apology. So, and maybe it's justified, but I didn't think so. So that's just my opinion. And be damned if nobody likes it. Let me put it that way. Anyway, we got about 4 minutes left in the show. All right, and probably going to go a little over because I want to really talk about this for the last 5 or 6 days, basically. I mean, it's going on longer than that, but for the last really 2 days, there's been some serious movement in guys going from one baseball team to the other. I got a Washington Nationals fan on here, so I want to get your thoughts on the trade that was made today on your watch with the Washington Nationals of, and I don't know this guy, between the Nationals and the Cleveland Indians. The Indians get shortstop Zach Walters, and the Nationals get a shortstop in return as per Dole Cabrera. Black, since this is your team, I want to get your opinion, if you have one, on this trade that the Indians and Nationals consummated.
Hey, it was plenty of trades that went down. David Price, then you see Minnesota plucked off 100-mile-per-hour pitches just off the street. A lot of people are making positions and moves, but the Nationals they're going for the finals. They're going for the finals, so they're trying to solidify that team now. I'm not upset at the trade at all. I just want to see what this kid Cabrera brings to the table.
Okay, he's an all-star shortstop, or he's close to it. But they also had the Tigers giving up Austin Jackson. In fact, and the reason I'm saying this, they were playing a game, and they pulled Austin Jackson off the field once this trade was consummated. Three-way trade, the Tigers get David Price from the Rays. The Tigers give up Austin Jackson, the outfielder, and he goes to the Mariners. And the Rays get outfielder Drew Smyly and two shortstops, Nick Franklin and Willie Adams. That's a big trade. But the one that came first, and I'm not leaving it last, but the one that came first that everyone reported first was that the Athletics, who've already picked up Jeff Smarja and Jason Hamill from the Cubs and the Cubs as pitchers, picked up their ace from Boston Red Sox, John Lester, and an outfielder who had previously been in Oakland, Johnny Gomes, in cash considerations. And the Red Sox get from the Athletics not the one, but two-time home run champion of the All-Star game, Yoenis Cespedes, and a competitive balance pick. Jeff, what are your thoughts on that one? That is huge. Red Sox get power, and Athletics get a ace pitcher. Talk to me.
I'll be honest, I'm not familiar with those players, but the one thing taken away from these deals made at the deadline, I can't believe the Yankees made a trade with the Red Sox. That does not happen often. I think with all due respect, these are second-tier players. And the thing is, most teams don't like to trade, in almost all the pro sports. You don't like to trade within your division.
Mm-hmm.
It happens sometimes. The Yankees, historically, after the Babe Ruth trade, for many, many years, they don't like to trade with the Red Sox. And also, the Yankees don't like to trade with the Mets. And also the Cubs and the White Sox don't make a lot of trades. And they say one of the reasons is if you trade a player within the same city, if he becomes a great player, you'll never hear the end of it. And I think the Yankees made they got that shortstop from the Mets, Santana. I mean, he was a good fielder, but he wasn't a big star. It was one of those kind of small-time deals. That was, I think when that deal was made, it had been about 20 years since the Yankees and Mets had made a deal, and I don't think they've made one since. So, I noticed the Red Sox and the Yankees making a deal. That was the one deal I noticed.
Black, talk to me about this deal, and also another Red Sox, they gave up another big pitcher in John Lackey, and two pitchers that went to the Cardinals.
Everybody's trying to make moves to catch the net. That's how I look at all of these moves.
Well,
everyone's trying to catch my net.
Oh, boy. They're talking about a homer. Oh, my God. Anyway, the Red Sox gave up, acquired, I should say. And you have to think about this. They picked up Yoenis Cespedes, who's definitely a power hitter, and that came from in Oakland, who is a hitter, is a pitcher-friendly park, to the Red Sox, which is a hitter-friendly park. And they also picked up, besides giving up John Lackey, Corey Luttrell to the Cardinals, the Red Sox pick up a decent pitcher in Joe Kelly. I know about Joe Kelly. And a really good RBI guy who's in a down year, but he has been in the past great RBI guy for the Cardinals, Alan Craig, to that lineup along with Ortiz and Dustin Pedroia and Alan Craig and Cespedes. That's a formidable lineup, regardless of the other guys that are in the lineup also.
Did you mention the Detroit move with David Price?
Yes, I mentioned that. I said David Price went to the Tigers, which is a hell of a move. The Mariners got Austin Jackson.
And
the Rays got outfielder Drew Smyly and two shortstops from the Mariners. This race on the American League and also on the National League, because I didn't mention all the other moves that were made, it's going to get very interesting, and a lot of these teams are either on the edge of making the playoffs or positioning themselves when they are in the playoffs to be a stronger team. So, and the reason I'm saying that is more than likely the Oakland A's are definitely going to go into the playoffs. The pitching that they have is going to determine how far they go into the playoffs. Billy Beane, who's had a movie made by him with Moneyball, has never won a World Series. And I think since he's been the president or GM, whatever you want to call him, of the A's, has only won one, maybe two playoff series. So he's putting his chips all in the center of the table, and I think he's going for it all because I think he sees a great opportunity for his team to get to the big dance or go far into the playoffs. All right. We come to the end of the show, people. We went a little over. I appreciate you listening. For those who've listened, for those who are going to catch us on the archives, I appreciate you listening. I'm going to give the guys that co-host with me an opportunity to say their last piece before we get out of here. I have to definitely mention Black. From now until next week, I need you to. We're going to be promoting our guest for next week. So, in your closing words, I want you to mention that. And then on Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which is the FSP show, we will mention the guest that's going to come on next Thursday, and also on the Master Plan, we'll be doing the same thing. With that being said, I'm going to give the floor to Jeff first to say his piece, and then Black, and then I'll close it out.
Well, like I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm looking forward to the Pro Football Hall of Fame weekend with Michael Strahan being inducted, and with the Giants kicking off the preseason games. And, you know, I'm usually very critical about baseball, but I got to give them one good thing about baseball, that you could make a blockbuster deal during the season and the guys contribute immediately. And that's something, it happens sometimes in basketball, and it doesn't really happen much at all in football. It's just not that kind of sport. But that does make it exciting for some of the fans, or for a player who could find himself all of a sudden with a contender. And, yeah, it looks like it was pretty interesting this year. And coming up on the horizon is the Basketball World Cup, and that caught my eye. But that's not coming up until later in August.
All right, Black, it's on you.
KD, look here, man. There was no need for you to shut down your Twitter. I know you didn't want to see all the KD, the DC hashtags. That's 2 years away. But there was no need for you to shut down your Twitter, man. Come on. At the end of the day, it's just basketball, my friend. Let us Wizards fans have our dream. Let us hashtag KD to DC. You don't have to pay attention to it. You can ignore it. You can not look at those notifications. And you can just continue to do you. Play basketball, my friend. But on next Thursday's show, we'll be welcoming our former guest, Phil Handy, who's the player development coach now, formerly of the Los Angeles Lakers, but now he's with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And as soon as Phil Handy got there, LeBron followed. LeBron came on home. So I believe Phil had a big hand in that, so we're going to rib Phil once we get him on the show next Thursday night.
That's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time next week, which happens to be the 7th of August, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mr. Phil Handy of the Cleveland Cavaliers. That being said, I want to thank Black and Jeff for spending the time with a little over an hour with me and discussing a few things that about the crazy, wacky world of fantasy sports and politics. Tune in, people, next week with an exciting guest that we're going to have and whatever else, that we're going to talk about. As always, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the Hall of Fame, which is on Saturday, and the actual starting of real football, or I should say football play. Let me put it that way, pro football play, even though it's not for real, it's still football action that you can watch on Sunday in the Hall of Fame game. So without further ado, enjoy the weekend, enjoy the Hall of Fame festivities, and we are out. See ya.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.